Hello, and welcome to this online Good Friday service. We are very glad you've decided to join us, and we hope that this service will be a meaningful way for you to come to the foot of the cross once again, for us to all discover anew the inconceivable things God has done to show his love for us, to show us the way by which we might find the full and abundant life Jesus has promised us. So let's gather together and say our call to worship. Today the carpenter's hands are nailed to a cross. The King of Kings is crowned with thorns and wears the purple robe of mockery.
Today he sets us free, himself imprisoned on a tree.
Today is God's Friday.
We come in worship.
Let us pray. Holy God, who has opened our ears to hear your word and our lips to proclaim your truth,
open our eyes this day to see in the cross the revelation of your love.
Through Jesus the crucified, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, be honor and praise now and forever.
Amen. Our scripture reading comes from the 14th chapter of the Gospel according to Mark, starting at the 32nd verse. Jesus prays in Gethsemane. And they went to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." And he took with him Peter and James and John, and began to be greatly distressed and troubled. And he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch." Going a little farther, he fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will." And he came and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "Simon, are you asleep? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not come into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again he went away and prayed, saying the same words. And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were very heavy, and they did not know what to answer him. And he came the third time and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? It is enough. The hour has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. "See, my betrayer is at hand." The Gospel of Christ. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Will you pray with me? Now may the words of my lips and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The French philosopher Gabriel Marcel, made a helpful distinction. At any rate, I find it a helpful distinction between a puzzle and a mystery. Both invite us to do some searching, but in the case of a puzzle, even the most complex of New York Times crossword puzzles, there is a solution if you have all the data you need, as opposed to a mystery where you can probe and probe and never exhaust the mystery. Well, take that as my welcome to Good Friday, a day that presents us with many puzzles, but frankly, only one true mystery. After all, the actions of some of the human actors on this day are puzzling. What really was Judas's motives? We know money was involved, and yet having received the money, at least according to one account, one gospel account, as soon as Jesus dies, he throws the money away and hangs himself. Well, if all he was interested in was the money, he should have left town. What did he really think would happen when he betrayed his Lord? Then there's the Jewish religious leaders who seem jealous of Jesus, who certainly find some of what he says blasphemous. And then John's gospel gives us an alternative explanation that the high priest thinks that better for one man to die than for all the people to suffer. And he may have had in mind the crucifixion that Diane referred to a few weeks back, where thousands of Galileans were killed by the Roman authorities. Perhaps he saw that kind of radicalism in Jesus and felt it was better for him to die alone than for all the people to suffer as the result of yet one more failed messianic rebellion. Those are all puzzles. Oh, and of course, there's also the puzzle around Pontius Pilate, who the Gospels seem to present in a fairly sympathetic way, and yet we know from historical accounts that he wasn't a nice man. I always enjoy when I'm watching a biblical drama how Pilate will be portrayed. I think two of my favorites are David Bowie plays Pontius Pilate in The Last Temptation of Christ, and he plays him as a kind of a world-weary cynic. And then Rod Steiger in Franco Zeffirelli's TV series, Jesus of Nazareth, basically plays Pilate as an angry man. What in the world did he do to deserve getting posted in this remote part of the Roman Empire? He's angry. He's furious. But again, these are all puzzles. If we had enough data, if we could interview these people, we could get our answers. There's a mystery here as well. And that mystery, of course, involves God's involvement. What is God doing here? That, incidentally, is what drew me to the Gethsemane passage for our scripture text. Some of you, if you participated in a Maundy-Thursday service last night, may have already heard that story that's often read at Maundy-Thursday. But it's worth reflecting upon again this morning, because it's the one text that makes it unmistakably clear that Jesus believed God was the ultimate author of the events that took place on Good Friday. And of course, That's a puzzle, but it's also a mystery that the church has been grappling with for its entire history, and has given birth, of course, to what we often refer to as theories, theories of the cross or theories of the atonement, of which there's no shortage. Right now, I'm participating in a study group here at St. Stephen's, a study group looking at an excellent book by N.T. Wright about the events of Good Friday. And in the study guide, a fellow by the name of Derek Freeland actually lists 7 of the most commonly regarded theories about what took place on Good Friday: the recapitulation theory, the ransom theory, the moral influence theory, the Christus Victor theory, the satisfaction theory, the propitiation theory, the penal substitution theory. And I would add, more recently, some Christian thinkers have added an 8th theory involving the fact that a thinker by the name of René Girard argues that what's really going on Good Friday is God is challenging our all-too-human propensity to scapegoat by allowing us to kill an innocent victim, thereby never again thinking casually when we scapegoat another human being. All of that theorizing is an ongoing task for Christian theology. We're not expected to shut our brains off at the door when we enter the church. We're allowed to ask those questions, ponder those explanations. And yet, the older I get, the more time I spend in the church, the more convinced I become that Good Friday probably isn't that day. That it's a mistake to spend Good Friday, of all days, worrying about theories when Good Friday, properly understood, is a day for worship. And so, as a preacher on this most humbling of days, my job, I think, is not to share theories with you, but perhaps to clear away a small handful of the roadblocks, the obstacles that can make it hard for us, knowing that God has a role, that God played a part in the crucifixion of Jesus, a few of the obstacles that can make it hard for us even to begin to enter into worship. Let me share three things that I think can help us to clear some of those roadblocks out of the way. First reminder is that I think we approach Good Friday best when we take a little time to look over our shoulder and to travel back to Christmas. Some of you may find that a perverse idea, given what a different celebration Christmas is than what we're about today. And yet, if we forget about the incarnation, we're bound to come to Good Friday in the wrong way. In effect, seeing what takes place on Good Friday is a big bully in the sky, inflicting something painful on a human being. What the incarnation reminds us of is that God was in Christ, and that what we see unfold, starting at Gethsemane, is for Father and Son conspiring together. Notice that the word Spirit is buried in the word conspiracy. Father, Son, and Spirit together, plotting and carrying out something grand and disturbing, but something that they are in together. Looking back to Christmas, that's the first reminder. Second reminder is to look forward to Easter, to the day of resurrection. And some of you will shake your heads and say, no, that's a spoiler alert. Cut it out, Foster. But here's the thing. No matter how hard we would try, it's impossible for us to come to Good Friday without an awareness of what comes next. Not that what comes next erases the significance of Good Friday, but on the contrary, shines a bright light on the events of Good Friday. Minus Easter, we would not even be here this morning to celebrate Good Friday. We would know nothing about it. It would be the story of just one more crucified Galilean, one more dead and buried Jew. Easter is what tells us that this is different. This is important. Attention must be paid to what happens to this man, to Jesus of Nazareth, when he is placed upon a cross. Looking behind to Christmas, looking ahead to Easter, that too can help us to get a better handle and to get rid of some of the obstacles that can make this day difficult for us. And then the final thing, those two simple words, for us. Earlier, I shared with you the seven ideas that the seven theories Derek Vreeland shares with us in his study guide, and I added an eighth. But they all have one thing in common. What they have in common is that they all account for the cross as something done for us, something that isn't just a random wild gesture, a spitting in the wind, a shot in the dark. No, these events are done for us. And each of those theories can illuminate a dimension, an aspect of what was done for us on the first Friday, a Friday that no doubt did not feel at all good to those who were the witnesses of it and saw their Lord put to death. Obviously, what takes place is not just momentous, but horrendous. In part, that's a reminder to me of the depth of the problem Good Friday is meant to cure, the depth of the wound Good Friday is meant to heal. But above all, it's a sign of the impossible love, the great love, the grave and holy love with which God regards us. To come to Golgotha, to come to the cross, whatever else it means. And it's here that worship happens rather than theorizing. Whatever else Golgotha points us to, it points us to a love so deep and pure and wonderful that it goes far beyond any love we have ever experienced. I love the way one of my very favorite Good Friday hymns puts it. My song is love unknown, my Savior's love for me. Love to the loveless shown that they might lovely be. Oh, who am I that for my sake my Lord should take frail flesh and die? He came from his blessed throne salvation to bestow for us, remember. Salvation to bestow, but people seemed to none the longed for Christ would know. But oh, my friend indeed, who at my need his life did spend. Here might I stay and sing, no story so divine. Never was love, dear King, never was grief like thine. This is my friend, to whose sweet praise I all my days could gladly spend. May it be so, in Jesus' sweet and precious name. Amen.
See the King of heaven fall in anguish to his knees. The light and hope of all the world now overwhelmed with grief. must he see to cry out in the garden, oh, take this cup away from me, yet not my will but yours, yet not my will but yours. To know each friend will fall away and heaven's voice be still. For hell to have its vengeful day upon Golgotha's hill. No words describe the Savior's plight, to be by God forsaken, till wrath and love are satisfied, and every sin is paid. And every sin is paid. What took him to this wretched place? What kept him on this road? His love for Adam's cursed race, for every broken soul. No sin too slight to overlook, no crime too great to carry, all mingled in this poisoned cup, and yet he drank it all. The Savior drank it all. Yes, my Savior drank it all.
Please join us in prayer. On this solemn day, let us come together in prayer.
Lord, have mercy on us.
Christ, our teacher, for our sake you were obedient, even to accepting death.
Teach us to obey the Father's will in all things.
Christ, our life, by your death on the cross, you destroyed the power of evil and death.
May we die with you, to rise with you in glory.
Christ, our King, you became an outcast among us, a worm and no man.
Teach us the humility by which you saved the world.
Christ, our salvation, you gave yourself up to death out of love for us.
Help us to show your love to one another.
Christ, our Savior, on the cross you embraced all time with your outstretched arms.
Unite God's scattered children in your kingdom of salvation.
As you taught your disciples, together we pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Friends, as you go forth from this time of solemn worship for Good Friday, go forth knowing that even in the darkness of this day, that the light and the life of the love of Christ shines forth. May that be a comfort and inspiration until we gather again. Go now in peace and in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Come into your kingdom, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.